Amen. Amen. Well, when my oldest son was 3 years old, my husband and I served as pastors at a church that had some interesting Christmas Eve traditions. Now, I had a three-year-old and a one-year-old, and one of those traditions was that the pastors and their families would sit on the very front row of the church in full view of an expectant congregation, which for me, as a pastor and the parent of a three-year-old and a one-year-old, meant that I would be juggling two small children and fire from the candlelight service in front of a whole congregation. They also had another tradition where we would observe communion together as a church family on Christmas Eve, which meant for me that I would be juggling a one-year-old, a three-year-old, communion, and fire on the front row of an expectant congregation. Well, I was up for the challenge, and as a children's pastor and as a mom, sitting in the front row, and it's quiet and contemplative, and I turned to my three-year-old, and I put his little chin in my hands, and I said, "Jeremiah, let me explain to you what's happening right now." And I went on to explain why communion would be something he couldn't take today, but would be able to take someday. What was the significance of the bread and the juice and the sacrifice that Jesus made for us when he died on the cross for our sins? His eyes widened and he pulled his chin back from me and he looked at me and in a very loud voice exclaimed, "We should not do that. He was just born." Now, in his very loud and three-year-old way, my son was processing just how an infant could be a savior. And as we celebrate the joy and anticipation of the birth of a human baby, the cross looms in the background as the reminder of his purpose. The Son of God came to earth to die for our sins. Now, we've been looking at the names of God as declared by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9:6. He said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So as we do at Christ Community, especially on Christmas Day, let's thank God for his word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, over the past few weeks, we have covered Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, names of Jesus with huge significance and power in our lives. But today, as we celebrate his birthday, let's rewind to the beginning of that verse and look at two names of Jesus. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. It's significant that there is a repeating phrase there, to us. When you announce the birth of a baby, you generally name the parents, not the general population. But Isaiah, using the words to us, means this is a coming child, this Son of God, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, is coming for all of us. This child was not just for Joseph and Mary. This child is coming to be with us and to be given for us, every one of us. Whether you are a child yourself or someone who doesn't like children, this child is for every person. Now, as a parent and as a children's pastor, I've encountered a lot of children. And really, infants are both the most remarkable creatures and also they leak. We marvel and stand in awe and wonder at a newborn, and then they spit up. There are actually products that have been invented specifically to catch the drips of a baby. Why would God choose to rest his rescue plan for his people in a 7.5-pound, 20-inch human body? Why not just skip straight to the mighty God? Efficiency does not seem to be the goal here. And yet, to us, a child is born. To us, a child is born. By entering the world as a child that was born, God was emphasizing the humanity of Jesus. Jesus was fully man. He entered the world exactly how you and I did, aside from the Immaculate Conception. Jesus pushed his way into the world in the exact same way each of us did, and in doing so, he identified with us. This is a sign of great humility, to be the savior of the world, the coming king, and yet to be helpless and dependent on human hands for care and development. Infants have nothing to offer us, nothing to actively contribute, no performing miracles, no walking on water. The Prince of Peace crying for his human parents, the mighty God coming so low that we could cradle him. And this was God's plan from the very beginning. In Genesis 3:15, when Adam and Eve are rejected from the Garden of Eden, God warns the serpent who deceived Adam and Eve, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." The savior of the world would be the offspring of a human. As God's people waited for the serpent crusher to come, they surely envisioned what he might look like. A kinsman redeemer, an anointed king, a brave military warrior. Or they knew the other forms God has taken when he has come in the past. A whirlwind, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch, a pillar of fire, glory so bright no one could go to the temple and be near to him. And like any one of us, I am fairly certain their imagined Messiah, which means promised deliverer, redeemer, savior, looked more like a royal soldier than an infant. But because he was an infant, we can identify with him. He experienced hunger and discomfort. He cried out for his mother. He was comforted by her heartbeat and her lullabies. He spoke his first words. He learned to read. He went through his teenage years learning carpentry from his father, but also learning scripture and faithfulness to God. Luke 2:52 says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. These are all things we do as human children. He was obedient to his human parents, who no doubt made some of the same mistakes that other human parents do. Except, as human parents, they weren't working fully with humanity. Because the next part of this verse says, "To us, a son has been given." A son has been given. We are reminded that this child that is born is also a son to God who will be given for us. So you know that song, "Mary, Did You Know?" Well, she did know. Though she may not have understood or been able to comprehend something so beyond our humanity, and though she may not have known that he would give sight to a blind man or calm a storm with his hand, as she cuddled him close and concerned herself with his daily care, she knew. She had been told by an angel that this child would be a son of God. As someone who was favored by God, she likely knew the prophecy and had waited for far longer than 9 months for the Messiah to come, more like her entire lifetime and generations before her. As parents, we often hold our infants in our arms and we wonder what they will become someday. Well, Mary had been told this son would be great and would be called Son of the Most High. In his sonship, he is fully God. John 1:18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father who has made him known." As God, Jesus had come to redeem his people. This child would live as fully man and give his life to adopt us all into sonship so that we could become children of God. Galatians 4:4-7 says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. The way to redemption was payment for our sins, born to be our substitute and representative before God by dying on a cross for our sins, a child born to us, who was also a son given to us as the greatest gift we could ever receive. Because God's Son was given to us and for us, the expectation of being under the law and enslaved to our sins is replaced with identification as a child of God and an heir to an eternal inheritance. This is the gift that was given: eternal life, nearness to God for eternity, identity on earth changed for those who would receive it. Now, there was a pastor who went to the home of a family in his church. And as they were sitting down to dinner, the house began to shake, followed by a loud whoosh and a resounding boom. While the pastor was shaken by the incident, the family went on eating as if nothing had happened. He asked if anyone else felt the shaking and heard the sound, and the family laughed and said, "Oh, you mean the train?" The family had lived near the train tracks for so long, they didn't even notice the busy train and the shaking walls anymore. And this is how we can become about Christmas. Christmas can be a whole whoosh, boom moment that we completely miss. We can get to December 26th and breathe a sigh of relief that we got through all the traditions and saw all of the family, or even faked it all well enough that we cleared another holiday season without having to feel too deeply. We can pull out our nativity sets and know that Jesus came to earth as a baby, and even have in the back of our heads that in just a few months we will gather again and praise him for his death and resurrection, and then put the set away around New Year's. Or we can be shaken by it. We can live as people who wonder at the gift of life and the humility of a God who would appear as a fire that was untouchable, but instead came as an infant to be near his people. We can ponder about how he knows our humanity. He knows the way we had to grow up, the sufferings we face, the sorrows we feel. We should be moved by the example of humanity that Jesus was to us, the way he loved, the way he pursued justice and stood for the oppressed, the way he led and taught people without shame or fear, fully man. And we should live as people who have been given a gift far beyond what we could imagine. A son was given to us because God loves us so deeply that we could become sons and daughters of God. This tender child we marvel at grew into a man who would be obedient to death in order to redeem his people, that we might be called children of God. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, and Messiah, Savior, the God who died for us. So let's pray. God, I pray we would be people shaken by this truth, that we wouldn't just glaze over it, but today, as we have paused and looked into your word, God, that we would know what it means that you were fully man, that you came as a child, that you can identify with us in all parts of our lives. And God, that you sent your son as a gift, that he would be fully God, be able to save and redeem his people, that we are no longer slaves, but we are children of the Most High King if we would receive it. God, I pray we would receive that today. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.